Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, every y'all gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag to your bank account, need an accountant.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the greatest show on earth, the Millionaire Mindsets Podcast. I am your host, Xavier, and today, my co-host, Dee, she's out today. She wasn't feeling well, but she'll be back next week. But today will still be a great episode. But before we start, we'd like to advise everyone to please subscribe, leave a five-star rating and review, do all those things. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. And getting right into the show, this will be another extremely dope episode. We've been trying to get this episode done for a while now, and we finally here. We're able to get it done. This woman, she's doing amazing, amazing, amazing things, and we definitely gonna get into all of it on the show. And her name is Terry Ijeoma. Am I saying that correctly?
You are. Thank you, Xavier. You totally are.
thank you. And she's a stock investor, or she's an investor in a stock trade, and we super excited to have you on the show. So welcome to the show, Terry.
Thank you for having me. You're so right. We've been doing this. We've been like talking for so long. I'm so glad we finally get to do it.
Yes.
And can I just say I am so proud of you, Indiana, because y'all have been like just killing it and growing. And I've been watching your growth. Like you're doing a really good job.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. That means a lot. And just getting right into the show for the people. Who the small number of people who may not be familiar with you, they've been stuck somewhere under a rock. Do you mind just giving like a quick background on yourself on who you are?
Sure. So my name is Terry Ijeoma, and I trade stocks and travel around the world. Like literally, I quit my job as an assistant principal of an elementary school to travel full time. And I afforded it by trading stocks. Mm. And about 2 years into it, people started asking me, wait. Teach us how to do it. How are you traveling and affording your hotel room and your flights with trading? Mm. And now that's what I do. I teach people how to trade and travel, how to trade stocks to afford the things that they want in life, whether that's travel like me, or it might be paying for daycare, paying off their debt, paying for a house, whatever it is. How do they use the stock market to do that?
I love it. And what was your introduction to the stock market? Because I know me personally, I first heard of stocks in the sixth grade. I had this teacher named my music teacher named Mr. Bonds, and he was telling us about stocks and stuff. And I remember going home to my parents and like people in the neighborhood, and I was telling them, and nobody, like, they didn't really know how to do it. And this was, like I said, this was when I was in sixth grade, so this probably was like 18, 6, I don't know, a while ago. I'm 28 now. How about whatever age you is in sixth grade, I don't know, but nobody knew how to do it. So like, what was your introduction to it?
Man, I wish I had a sixth grade teacher who knew what he was doing, because then by the time I was in high school, I would have known what I was doing. But mine was in high school, junior year going into senior year, I did a program called LEAD and went up to Chicago, and they showed us the Chicago Stock Exchange. So that was my first intro. But it still didn't really tell us like all the ins and outs. So when Google had their IPO, they actually had they were going public for $83 a share. I still didn't know. So I went to my teachers, and they didn't know what they were doing either. And you're in Dallas, right? Did you go to school in Dallas?
No, I'm from Chicago. I moved to Dallas in December 2020. I only been here for like a year.
Okay, so see, we switched. Mm. I grew up in Dallas and then went to worked Chicago. In Chicago.
That's crazy.
But right? But no, like nobody in my public schools in Dallas, nobody knew what was going on. So then I ended up going to MIT and learned about it in college. But at the same time, like we knew of stocks and of trading, but they didn't really show you the ins and outs. Even when I interned on Wall Street, we didn't really know all the ins and outs. Mm-hmm. So I had to try to figure it out on my own in 2010 after the housing crash.
Wow. Well, that's so what made you say, I'm about to go into this thing? Because I think a lot of people, it seems like super technical, and you know, it's like it's too much going on. It kind of intimidates a lot of people. And you said you did it in 2010, right? So now it's like it's easier to understand for a lot of people. But 10 years ago, that wasn't the case. A lot of people was kind of like, no, this stock stuff, this is not for us, especially in the Black community.
They weren't. You're so right. The thing that got me was I was going to invest in a house because, you know, everybody says invest in real estate. Mm-hmm. At the time, too, in Chicago, they were thinking about having the Olympics. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten into a house for the Olympics. And then later, a little bit later, there was another neighborhood. So I actually had some money saved and I was about to put it down on a house. And the realtor started talking about how he was making money trading. Mm. And I was like, what? I'm about to put $30,000 down on this house and you over here talking about you're making money in the stock market. Well, maybe I need to save my $30,000.
All right.
Now, though, I tell you the truth. I'm so glad that I invested in the stock market, but I also do think that real estate is a good idea, too, because I was thinking about you from Chicago. It was a 3-flat right outside of the University of Chicago.
Ooh.
That thing right now would have went for a ton of money, but both of them have been successful for me. I have to tell you the truth, but I wish I had also thought about that 3-flat. Both of them would have been good.
But that's been a great investment right now. And so when you found out about that, did you start off with just investing long term, or like when did you ease into saying I'm a trade? Because I know trade is much more, at least in my opinion, it's much more complex than just buying long term.
It is. You're right. Like investing is relatively simple. It's not easy, but it's relatively simple because you find a healthy company, you get into that company, and then you really don't have to touch it much until retirement. So that's kind of easy. With trading, we still are looking at that same healthy company, but we're watching the price movement. So we're watching when it goes up, we're selling it. When it comes down, we're getting into it. And we're just getting in and out of it to make money. I'll tell you the truth. The first 6 years, I was trying to figure it out on my own. Wow. I was watching CNBC and I was just, you know, playing with my account. I call myself smart because I went to MIT. So I was like, I'm going to create my own algorithm. And I'll be able to like beat the market. But then come to find out, actually, a lot of people have been trading for a long time before me. I do not have to reinvent the wheel. And that would be one of my advice for anybody else trying to learn how to trade. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. So many people have figured out how to do it well. Just follow someone who's been doing it well. Mm. That's the best way to be consistent. You trying to find some random obscure company that nobody else knows about and that's going to be the winner. This going to be the one. That is not going to that's not going to bring you as much success as going like after someone who has consistently been making regular gains and looking at their system.
I'm glad you said that because I feel like a lot of young people, when they get into it, that is like their first instinct. It's like, I'm going to find some company that nobody knows about. I'm going to put all this money into it and it's going to blow up. I'm going to make all this money. And like you don't have, like you said, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. And I also like that you said it took you 6 years because a lot of us, we might trade for 3 months and it's like, man, this some BS. This stuff ain't worth it. It ain't working. I ain't making no money. Like you said, it took you 6 years. So you really like mastered your craft and then paid off tenfold. So I really love that you said that.
You know, especially right now, because I know people are going to be listening and some of them probably have been investing. And coming into 2021, the market has been doing its own craziness.
Right.
Like it just keeps falling for a long-term investor or short-term investor. Yeah. Your portfolio is not what it was at the middle of last year.
That's a fact.
It's showing some red or some lower numbers. What I will tell people, like there's a couple things that people should know. One of the best things about being a trader is getting to know your company or your stock. And that's something that a lot of people who have just been in it 3 months, y'all don't have the wisdom of getting to know the stock. Mm. It's kind of the same as a relationship. You get into, this is going to sound so crazy. follow me, Xavier. Okay. So I've dated a guy once and we had known each other for like 2 weeks. And he was like, oh, I love you. And in my head, I'm like, right. You don't know nothing about me.
Right.
What do you love? You just love the idea of me, but you don't know me well enough. Mm. That's the thing with the stock market. It takes time to get to know the company. You need to know how does it act in the beginning of the year? How does it act when inflation is coming? How does it act during earnings season when the company reports? How does it act in the summertime when there's a different thing that happens with the president, or how, you know, like there's something about getting to know a company. One of the reasons why I'm so successful now is because I've been watching these companies for 12 years. I know them like the back of my hand. So for all those who are brand new, give yourself some grace and some time, because you got to get to know the companies.
That's great. I know. I love that. That's great advice. And how, like, so during that time period when you was learning and studying, like how many hours throughout the day was you like studying it?
In the beginning, if you really, so let me back up. It really depends what your goal is. Mm. If your goal is every once in a while, I just want to make some money, then you don't have to study as hard, because you can do something called a swing trade. A swing trade is anything less than a year. So you may get in now when the market is coming down and then hold it till the summertime. And so you probably won't have to look at that very often. Well, you still want to, personally, I would check it each day or every other day just to make sure that it's still on the right track. Mm-hmm. But since you're going to be in it for a little while, you don't have to do as much studying. But if you're really wanting like daily or, you know, weekly returns, then you need to spend at least a couple hours a day, I think, throughout the day, checking the company to see how it's doing. And then at nighttime doing some homework. So that's going to be about an hour of looking. I'm a technical analysis trader. So looking at your charts, looking at the news that happened on that company, looking at the overall market, because you need to know what's happening in the world in order to know what's going to happen to your stocks.
Right.
For example, right now we are potentially going to war. The inflation is going up. Earnings are coming out. Like all of those are bigger macro things that are also going to impact your smaller company.
That's you giving some game for real. And what, because you said it earlier, like you spoke on like a healthy company, like looking at a healthy company. So in your opinion, what makes a company a healthy company?
If you go into CNBC or whatever platform you use to look at a stock, look at where has their stock price been over the last year. If it's been going consistently up, that's called an uptrend. So one, I'm looking at things that have been on an uptrend over the past year. Ideally, you want them definitely on an uptrend over the past 3 months, but a year is good. I'm also looking at companies who have a good forecast. So every quarter, once the quarters are every 3 months, and I know you know all this, Xavier, but this is for all the people who don't know. So every 3 months, companies report their earnings. They report how they're doing. And during that, they tell you what they think their forecast will be for the next quarter. I'm looking for companies that have positive forecasts, also positive earnings. That means that their revenue is bigger than their expenses. We're just looking for like those type of things. What are they doing in regards to their competitor? That's another big thing. Are they the best in their sector? I try to go with the best in breed. I don't want, if we're doing airplanes, I want the best airline, not the Rudy Poo one that's got to figure out how to get their life together. No, every sector we're looking at the best company. So then that company we can trade in and out of for income.
That's good advice for everybody that's listening. You make it, you break it down real simple without, because I feel like a lot of times when it comes to stocks, especially when we talk about the younger generation, like younger than 30, it's like people just want to go for home runs and they want it to happen like instantly. I know when I talk to like friends and family about stocks and stuff, they'll be like, all right, how can I double my money in the next couple months? And I'm like, yo, like y'all got to calm down. Like this, excuse my language. I'm like, this shit don't work. It ain't gonna work like that. That's how you lose your money. Like that's seriously how you lose your money. And I think when you start off, a lot of people, that's like the quickest thing you want to do, especially coming from certain environments. But then after some L's, because I feel like everybody takes some L's, especially in the beginning, then you're like, hold on, I need to take some step backs and just play it a little bit more strategic. Like, is that how you learn from taking like losses and things like that?
Oh, yes. But let's go back to the percentage thing. People need to understand their expectations as a trader. So when you are trading, the average for the market is 8 to 10%. So when someone says, I want to double their money, you are saying, I want to get 100% return, when the natural average is 8 to 10%. That's very unlikely.
Mm.
So for all those people that are trying to reach that, what's probably going to happen is you keep reaching for these 100% returns, and each time you're going to be losing 50%, losing 25% because you're getting into things really risky trying to get that extra return. Mm. When you could have gotten to something that was a safer, more reliable trade, not made as much, but made sure that you kept making your money consistently.
Mm. I like that.
Yeah, so people, bring back your expectations, reel it in. Like, let's just try to see, can we get 1% of our cash amount on a regular basis? Because if you do that 8 times, well, now you're in line with the market. You do that 10 times, now you're beating the average.
You're beating it.
Let's just do that first. And what people don't know is if you make 1% of your cash amount each trading day, which is 5 days a week, but you do that for 5 months, then you will double your money.
Mm.
That's because you were doing just 1% a day.
No, I love that, because I was literally just about to ask you, like, what was your thoughts on, because another common thing what I see is people not knowing when to exit. Like, you might hit a home run, you might get up 200%, you might be like, I'm up 200, but I feel like this could hit, I could get 400%. So what's your thoughts on exiting? Like, how do you know when it's time to, like, walk away?
Yeah, the key thing you said in there is, I feel like, anytime it's a, I feel like, that ain't it. Get out of
here.
When you are happy with what is in your account, like, here's my rule, and this is not the technical one. And of course, there's a technical one too. But my personal rule is, if I look at my account and I am surprised by the amount that is there, then I get out.
Get out, right?
Because as soon as I'm surprised and happy, then, and I hold on, that's when it all go away. So when you look at it and you're like, ooh, this is good, sell right then. Sell. You were excited, you were happy, sell.
I agree.
Take the profit and run.
What's the technical answer to that?
So the technical one is looking at charts. Before you even get into a trade, you should have calculated, what is my risk on this trade, and then what is my reward? And to get that, you would have put in a stop loss. So all of this, like, I teach in the trade and travel course, but you would have put in a stop loss at the place where you're going to get out of the trade. And you would have actually, had a target in mind ahead of time for, if the stock gets to this place on the chart, then I'm getting out. You need to exit when the stock price gets to that place. And the way that I look at that is candlesticks. We're looking at formations and candlesticks. But we would know ahead of time, if the stock comes to this price, this is the exit, because right after this, it's going to start going down.
It's going to start going down.
Mm-hmm.
That's great advice, because I even done it myself. I didn't think it got wins, and I'm like, man, this ride, I might want to keep riding with this. Then, you know, it started dropping down. Like, damn, I should have sold when I knew I should have sold back then. So that's like, it's so easy to get your emotions caught up when you when you invest in specifically, especially trading, especially
trading, seeing, super emotional.
Yeah, it's extremely emotional. Do you think what you think is the most important trait to be a successful trader? Is emotions, like being able to control your emotions, probably one?
Definitely, yeah, definitely. Because here's the emotions that you go through. First, you're not sure if you should get into the trade, so you have that fear of, you know, what if I get in and I didn't do it right, or is this the right time? So you're questioning yourself. Then if you don't get in at that time and it starts going up, then you have FOMO, fear of missing out, because it's like, oh man, I should have been in. Dang, why did I do that wrong? Then if it doesn't go right, say you start losing money, then you start talking about yourself. Like, oh man, I knew I shouldn't have done that. I knew before I even got into it, it was going to be bad. And then if it goes right, then you go into, well, I think it's gonna keep going. Should I get out? Maybe I should stay in. All these things are going through your head on every trade. So the most important thing to master is having a trading plan that actually says, this is what I'm going to do. And the trading plan needs to say in there, this is my criteria for getting into a trade. This is my criteria for when to exit the trade. This is my criteria for, like, what goal I have. I'm trying to make $100 on a regular basis. And what happens is, when you have these criteria in place, then when you hit it, you know to exit. Like, it doesn't take any brain thought anymore. It's not emotional. It's just, my trading plan says that I'm trying to make $100. I made $100 to get out of the trade. Right?
Right, right.
So the trading plan is going to be the most crucial thing. And then sticking to that is probably the second thing, discipline to actually do your trading plan.
Now, I love that. And do you think, I'm trying to think how to ask this. So let's say if somebody listens to this and they're like, oh, you know what? I want to start trading. Do you think they should start trading the same day, or should they, how long should they study before they make a trade?
I tell people in my class, so one, I do think it's important to get educated first.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a doctor, you don't just go operate on people. You go to medical school first. If you're a pilot, then you don't just go fly a plane. You go to school first. So I do think it's important to take some classes. Shameless plug, we are the number one class.
Go ahead.
So I think ours is great. But no matter what, take some education. But then what I tell my students is I want them to practice first in a simulator with fake money. And I want them to have 10 successful trades, ideally 10 in a row, which is really difficult.
10
successful trades in a row and then go to your real money.
Why 10 in a row?
That means that you're consistent. That means you've mastered your plan. Now, can you trade with the real money before that? Yes. And even I think right now the market is falling quite a bit. So if we see a turnaround, this might be a good time to just take some even longer term positions before you have gotten to your 10. But ideally at 10, you know that you've mastered it, that you really do have your trading plan down. Like we have 7 steps. After 10, then I feel like you've mastered my 7 steps.
No, I love the answer. And speaking of your course, I got something I want to touch on your course. But before I go to that, we are going to go into our next sponsor really quick. This episode is also sponsored by The Morning Meetup. One thing all successful people have in common is strong connections. If you're trying to break into the entrepreneurial world, you're looking to network with like-minded individuals, or you're looking to take your business to the next level. Currently, entrepreneurs from all across the country meet up every morning for a daily meeting from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Eastern to start the day off right. If you want to join this community, there's never been a better time to try it out, because for a limited time only, you can start a 7-day trial for just $1. If you're looking to get started with The Morning Meetup, you can go to www.themorningmeetup.com/$1 trial. And like as always, the link for that is in the description of this podcast episode. So speaking of your course, Trade and Travel, I've seen that. First, I want to say congratulations to all your success. Like, that's amazing. I really love to see it. So congrats on that. And I've seen that you did over 40 million in sales with your course, which is huge. So that just speaks on how many people you actually helping in real time, in real life. So like I said, once again, congrats on that. So first I want to ask, so what, like you said, I'm pretty sure a hell of people is probably asking you, how was you doing all this? But did you think, before all this even started, did you see all this happening for yourself? Did you even imagine this?
No, not at all. And honestly, I never wanted to start a course. I think a lot of people lately that have come to me, and maybe it's because I'm in courses now, they just want to start a business. And so they are trying to figure out how to start a course and what business to start. I had no desire to start a course. I wanted to live my life on the beach and relax. But people kept asking me to teach them. And so finally I was like, okay, fine. Look, I'm going to do one class, and then y'all won't ask me no more. I did the class. They loved it. And this was in Thailand, actually. Then the next time we were in Vietnam, they were like, can you do another class? So I did another one in Vietnam. And then when my friends back home in Dallas found out, because they had seen it on Instagram, they were like, oh, will you do a class for us? So it organically grew for me. And it honestly has continued to organically grow. The 40 million is really like people just telling friends. They've been getting results. They like the class. They like how organized it is. They're actually making $1,000 in a day. We have like $1,000 in a day club. So then their friends see them making money, and then they tell somebody. So it just organically has grown.
So you think organic traction is the best way to do things? Because I feel like everybody is trying to make a course today, and some people struggling, some people get success. And you being the number one, you got the number one course on Teachable, which was like the biggest course selling platform. So to have the number one course on there, like I'm a pop your shit for you. I'm gonna talk it for you, because that's major. That's a Seriously, that's a big deal. It's like thousands and thousands and thousands of courses on Teachable. To have the number one course, that's a huge, huge deal. Like, I can't say congrats enough. Like, I'm super proud of you. And this is our first time speaking on camera face to face, and I'm super proud of you. So, but like, okay. Do you think, like, how important, just for people that may be trying to build courses right now, like, how important was, like, marketing in that process?
Marketing is super important. I definitely think that you have to let people know who you are in order for them to come to your course. So a couple things I would say about marketing. Your students are your number one marketers. So if you're spending your whole time thinking about marketing but not actually pouring into your students, that's already wrong. Mm. So the first two people, or the first people in my class, I had two people, but I gave them my all so that, like, I could make sure they were learning. They were my focus. And then they told other people. Then it turned into 30 people. Okay, I'm giving you guys my all. Like, I literally taught my class over and over and over for 2 years. Every quarter, I would teach the whole class. So me on lives teaching the class, okay? I see that they didn't get this part. This part didn't make sense. Oh, they're still making mistakes here. I would tweak it, then redo it all again. Teach it again, another 8 weeks. Okay, this didn't work. Let's try this. Maybe this analogy would make it better. Then I would teach it again. So the real, like, secret sauce is that I wanted to make sure my students were learning. Mm. So I think that's something that now a lot of online course creators are missing. They just want to make money, They're not thinking about the success of their students. And I want them to actually focus on, you are now the teacher. You are now the subject expert. So you got to make sure you're focusing on, are your people getting it?
No, that's extremely heavy right there. Because, like you said, and I think it's dope, because, like you said, you started with two students. I think when people hear the story and they hear the 40 millions of sales, people forget that everybody starts from zero. Like, they just see this thing so big. It's like, man, that's out of this world. I could never do anything remotely close to that. But you started with two. Like you said, you put all your energy into those. So that's how you build anything. So that's extremely, I'm glad you touched on that. And I know you have a background in education when you started trading and stuff. So, and then you eventually left. So my question is, when did you know, and I like asking entrepreneurs this, that's full-time entrepreneurs, when did you know it's time to walk away from the gig?
Man, this lady, she's okay, let me put some burden on myself. Usually I talk about my bosses, who legit I think were crazy. But this time I'm gonna talk about me. I personally think that I struggle with being a staff member. This is not true. I think I'm a good staff member. I work really, really hard. However, what would happen is I would be in a job and it would go really great for about 2 years. And then the third year, things would just start going crazy. But this was a pattern. So I'll take some of that burden on me. Clearly, I either get bored or restless, or something happens every 3 years or so in a job for me. But on the flip side, I will say that, like, dang, my bosses, like, I literally have PTSD from jobs. Like, I had one job where people on my staff tried to stab me in my back and take my job, and then, like, told me that the boss was trying to, like, fire me, but she couldn't because I wasn't doing anything wrong. So they had to try to get me to quit. Like, just toxic situations. Then there was, like, another one at the school where, like, I'm overhearing her trying to sabotage and find ways to make me look bad. And I'm like, what is going on? In my last job, I had four bosses. One of them was, like, super petty I would do, like, a huge project. There's one I remember, like, really, it's just, I worked so hard on this project. And she came back talking about one of the thumbtacks was the wrong color. How you going, what? All of the work we doing and you gonna talk about one thumbtack is the wrong color out of all the other colors? And then she would tell me stuff like, well, the microwave is dirty. That ain't my job. Like, that's the manager's job. Why is this on my report? Like, this just don't make sense. But yeah, I just, I knew that I needed to go because of my bosses. And then when my friend passed away, that was like another, okay, Terry, it's time. Because life is too short. People are dying. And I know like this was way before COVID. So I know there's even more urgency now. Like life will pass you by. If you're in a job where this is not the right fit, you got to figure out how to get into a better fit. Because life is just not promised to any of us at any age. I was under the weather this week and I was a little afraid, dang, do I got COVID? Like you just never know. So life is too short. For me, that was it. My friend passed away and then my bosses were crazy.
Quick question. Do your bosses know what you're doing now?
Yes. I know one of them does because she called me and I've had several bosses. One of them does because she called me and she wanted to be in my class.
It's funny how that worked. It's funny how that worked.
It sure is, right? Mm-hmm. Come back around. You're like, right. Oh. Another one, I seen him at church. So I think they're proud of me. And I think it had to work the way it did. That's where I've come to the conclusion. Like, it was God's doing. Mm-hmm. Like, things had to work out the way they did. But in it, I was crying all the time. I was crying in the bathroom. My heart hurt. I remember having one conversation with one of the bosses. And I literally came home. I, like, could just muster up enough to come home. And I remember opening the door and then just falling. Like, my heart hurt. Like, it just felt like she had ripped my heart out and just stomped it on the ground because it was just like, it was one of those times where you do everything you can and somebody finds the one thing to try to still pull you down. That's kind of how it felt.
That's crazy. Yeah. But that's, And when you left, did you have like a number of money? Say, I'm gonna save up this much money and leave, or did you just was like, I'm just gonna go out on I'm gonna take this leap?
Mine was, I was trying to trade at the time, so I had decided I would leave in October of the school year and waited the whole rest of the school year practicing trading until I could leave. So I knew that I needed to make $300 a day. When I got to $300 consistently that I was trading each day, then I could leave. That was how I did it.
Okay. So I like that strategy. And what is your, I was about to ask? I had another question I was about to ask. Yeah, if you don't mind sharing, what was one of your best and worst days trading?
Best day, I made $1 million in a day last
year. Whoa. So, I wouldn't expect you to say that.
That was a good day. That was a great day. I made $1,087,000
in one day.
And it was trading Amazon.
Amazon.
I had been working towards that. Like, in order to get there, because I have always had these goals. First, it was $300 in a day. Then it was, okay, can I make $1,000 in a day? Hit that. Then it was, can I make $100,000 in a day? I did that in 2020. Then 2021, it was like, can I make $1 million in a day? And I did it. So I've been working up to this level. Wow. And so people know, because some people, I don't think you really realize what it takes to work up to that. It takes one, you have to increase your account size. So you can't just have $3 in your account and make $1 million. You have to actually start making your account grow. So it took me a while to get to a place where I had enough money to do a trade that could make $1 million. Go ahead.
Oh, sorry, I was going to ask, was it a call or a put?
It's a call.
Okay.
These are calls.
Okay. Wow.
But I do like shorting. And I think in this market, people need to get really comfortable with shorting too. That's puts.
Really?
Making money when the market goes down.
Wow.
But this one, like, you have to get yourself up to enough money. Then you have to master that trading plan. Like I was telling you about, everybody trades differently. So it took me a while to get to a point where I could master my trading plan enough to make the trade that would make $1 million. And then mastering your mental health. Because then, like we said, all those emotions that go through your mind, I got to $1 million and it was like, oh my God, do I sell? Do I keep it? Should I just hold on to this? It was like, no girl, sell. You've been waiting on this for a long time. Sell and get your money.
No, seriously. That's crazy. And how long did it take?
That one was over 2 days.
It was just over 2 days.
Yeah, I placed it. I sold some of it the first day, and then I sold some more the next day. The first day, over the two, I actually made more than the $1,087,000. Ended up being like $1.5 million altogether. But yeah, it was a two-day trade for those two.
That's a great trade right there. Shout out to Amazon.
Yes. Man, today I was like, dang, I should have shorted Amazon. I would have made that on the downside.
Yeah.
But hey, you can't win them all. On the downside, one of my worst days was when I first started trading. I had lost $26,000 in a day. And I know compared to a million, that sounds small, but you have to remember
that's a start.
Right. My account was not very big. I only had like $35,000 that I was trading. I had moved over my old retirement accounts. So that was almost like I lost my whole portfolio in a day.
In a day.
And some of the things I did wrong. So I told y'all some of the stuff I did right. Some of the things I did wrong, I was trading earnings. Right now in January, I know this is going to come out soon. A lot of companies are reporting their earnings. Do not play. That's like playing with fire. Trying to get into the stock the day that they report their earnings, because you don't know what they're about to do. You don't know what they're going to say. They could say that they did wonderful, like Netflix. They said they did great, but then they said, well, we're not going to have as many subscribers next quarter. Down $100. Who would have known that? So you never know what the earnings will be. So I don't think you should trade earnings. That's just a big part of what I did wrong. And then I did a whole bunch of other stuff wrong that I talk about in the course.
That's very interesting, because like a lot of times I'll see people talk about trading earnings. And I'm glad that you said that with that advice right there, specifically for people that may be thinking about trading or starting. Because you will see that a lot. I know I see that online a lot, like especially like last year, people trading on earnings. Like, oh, the earnings reports came out. Get this. And with that perspective, I just like, yeah, that makes sense. Like when you was just breaking that down, like that makes a lot of sense. Because you don't know. Right.
Right. I would prefer you all wait till after earnings. And then, like, I usually give it a few days after earnings. Then go ahead and place the trade. So, for example, Netflix. They said that they did okay, but their forecast next quarter is not so great. So, this one's it's not as easy of a trade. But, like, say that they had done amazing, but their stock still went down anyway. Then maybe you could pick it up and say, hey, I think this is a healthy company, but it just came down a little bit. But that's a more educated trade than trying to trade before they announce.
I like that. What do you think about this? Because I know sometimes when I talk to people that may not be as financially stable, and they talk to me about investing and saying like what companies could they invest in long term. And sometimes I'll say like in certain situations, it's probably best for you to trade right now. What do you think about that? Do you think people that don't have an abundance of money, do you think they should start investing long term or go to trading first?
I think it depends on their mindset.
Mm.
If they are not good with money in general, then trading won't be good for them either, because we talked about it. It's hard. It's a mindset game. You have to have like strong emotional fortitude to be a trader. So if the reason why they don't have a lot of money is because they haven't been a good steward of their money in general, then let's be a long-term investor first and see if you could even just not touch it.
Right.
How much can you save to grow that account? And then once you get that account up a little bit, then maybe you can start trading with a part of it. So I would say that's probably a better route.
I like that.
If they're not starting with a lot of money in general.
No, I like that. I like that. And you seem like a real, like, just like an even keel, like you got your emotions in check person, which probably translates to winning within the market. But what do you say to the person that's probably not as emotionally stable as you, and they probably just can't check their emotions like that? Is there a way they can learn to keep them in check so when they go into the markets, they won't be as like ready to get out when things are going south?
Yeah, I think that's when you need the trading plan, like from trading travel. That's when the 7 steps come into practice.
Okay.
Like if you're in the course, then there's 7 steps and those are the 7 you follow. You just got to religiously stick to it. And if you feel like, man, I can't, at least have a stop loss on each trade, like put in some risk management into your trading. There's got to be like a, at this level, I'm getting out. I don't care what's going on. I'm protecting my portfolio at this number or at this amount in my account. We're exiting everything. Okay. There's got to be some fail safes in your plan for you if you emotionally are not, you know, able to control it.
And speaking on the course, trade and travel, do you mind going over what all the covers just for the people that's listening?
Yeah. And I know I talk a lot about it, but it's just because I think it can really help.
No, definitely.
Right now with the market going down, I feel like a lot of people need help because we talk about how to pick good companies. That's the first week. Then we go into risk management, then technical analysis. That's how do you know the right price to get in and out? Apple is a great company, but if you bought it last week, you bought it at $170. If you bought it this week, it's at $160. That's a big difference. Mm-hmm. So how do you know the right time? Charts. Then we go into the trading plan. That's going to take those emotions out and just say, hey, these seven steps, Terry said this is what we're going to do. Then from there, we go into more advanced things. How do you make money on the way down? That's week five, shorting. Then we go into gaps in Globex. So Netflix just dropped $100 overnight. How do you take advantage of that? And then we go into options. So now that you know the whole system, options is 100 shares at a time.
Mm. And I know nobody can predict the market, but from your opinion, do you think, because I know earlier you spoke on like it's a good time to get in and short and be shorting on companies and stuff like that. So how long do you think this will last, just from your opinion?
I'm hoping that it won't last much longer than the first quarter. Last year, we did something similar. December and January, it went down and kept falling and acted like it was never going to end. And then February came and it just flipped right on around. So I'm hoping that we'll see a turn soon, but we don't know. Mm. We didn't have to deal with inflation or quantitative tightening last year. Now we do have to deal with that. And so we just have to see how the market responds.
Right, responds, right. And what are your thoughts on crypto?
I was in Bitcoin the end of 2020 going into 2021. And I sold when it got to 66,000. And then I didn't get back into it. So I personally think that it's a bit risky right now. So I would wait. If it comes down super low, then that's naturally what I do as a trader. I get back into things when they're really low. Mm-hmm. So I'll be watching it, but I'm not trying to jump in right now.
That makes sense. Because it, like you said, it is. The market's been dropping. And that's something we talk about crypto a lot because I've been in it since 2017. I tell people all the time, I'm like, this ain't like crypto is different. It's similar, but it's different. It's 7 days a week. You could take a nap on a Sunday, you wake up, your stuff could be gone. So it's like, you got to be, you know, the stock market, at least on Saturday and Sunday, you could be like, all right, I could breathe a little bit without, but do you study a lot on the weekends, like in preparation for like Mondays and stuff like that?
I do. Because I'm a chartist for technical analysis, I don't have to do a lot of studying of reports and P&Es and all that type of stuff, but I do chart my whole watch list on the weekends so that I know what to look out for during the week.
Okay. And this is this is one of my final questions I got for you. I know you traveled a lot when you were started into trade. Do you think traveling as much as you did that have any effect on the way you traded?
I do. Good question. One, I think it gave me perspective so that I wasn't so anxious. I think one of the biggest mistakes of new traders is they overtrade. They're staring at it all day and then they are like getting in when they shouldn't be trading at all. When I was traveling, I couldn't do that, especially because I was in different time zones. So in Korea, I was up super early, like 2, 3 a.m. trying to catch the U.S. market. I would trade for a couple hours and I'd go to sleep. So I wouldn't have the whole day to just look at it. And I think that helped me build patience. That's something that people now in the U.S. and as new traders need to have as well. Just more patience to find the right trade instead of just continuing to trade.
Yeah, patience is everything. And which, because this is, I feel like this is a common question that people always ask when they talk about buying stocks or trade. Which platforms do you think are the best if you want to trade or just buy into companies?
So there's a couple that I like for traders. TD Ameritrade has a good one with Thinkorswim. Mm-hmm. Interactive Brokers is good. I use one called TradeStation, but I'm actually looking to see if I can switch brokers right now. So all three of those are good. And I do think, make sure that you open a margin account when you open an account. Margin just gives you extra buying power. You don't have to use it. So some people are like, the only way Terry trades is with margin. No, you don't have to use it, but it's good to have because it lets you trade faster. In terms of if you have a cash account, it takes you 3 business days for your money to come back into your account. So you got to wait before you can trade again. In a margin account, you can trade the next day. Also, short selling only can be done in margin accounts. So if you have, not so much with options, but with cash, with stocks, short selling with stocks can only be done in a margin account. So you have to make sure you have the right account to be able to do all the things, that you can.
Are you a fan of Robinhood?
No.
Why not? I'm not either, by the way, but I always tell this to people too, but for you, why aren't you a fan of Robinhood?
They don't have good charting, and I'm a big chart person. Their charts are not robust. Their timing is slow. So if you get into a trade if you had Robinhood and you got into a trade and I got into a trade with TD or TradeStation, we would get different prices. And I don't like that. I want to be able to get the best price. And then I just don't like that when it's really volatile, sometimes Robinhood breaks down. That's not cool.
That's not cool at all. It'll break down for it. Then you come back on. You didn't lost a lot. You couldn't even sell if you wanted to.
That's horrible.
Yeah, terrible. Yep. And this is my final question. I like to ask everybody this because everybody has a different opinion on it. So from your opinion, what does wealth mean to you?
Wealth means freedom of time. Because I have wealth, I get to decide what I want to do. I don't have to do anything. I do things because I want to. And that's what wealth means to me. I want to do stuff.
That's a simple breakdown. I love that. And before we let you go, I just want to say first, I greatly appreciate you taking the time out your busy schedule to come on the show. Like we said in the beginning, we've been trying to get this done for a while. So to finally get it done, I am extremely happy to get it done. I'm grateful. And I appreciate it. And secondly is, do you mind plugging in all your stuff where people can find you, follow you, buy your course? I'm going to put the link for the course in the description of this podcast episode for everybody. And everything else, you can plug everything.
Perfect. So find us on YouTube at Trade and Travel, on Instagram at Trade and Travel. You can find my course and a free webinar at tradeandtravel.com, but also the link in the bio. Make sure you click that link. And yeah, that's the best places to find me.
Cool. Thank you. And like she said, y'all, so make sure y'all definitely follow her. Like, she's giving out gems and she's really doing it. So if you want to trade, become a trader, go get that course and tap in. We stepping in here at Million Dollar Mindset. And before we wrap up, I would like to advise you guys to please follow me and Deanna. I'm at Xavier C. Miller on all platforms. You can follow the Million Dollar Mindset podcast on all platforms as well. And you can follow Deanna at Deanna Kent. That's on all platforms. And appreciate y'all tapping into another episode of the Million Dollar Mindset podcast. See you guys next episode. Peace.
Gotta get your brain right if you're trying to make $1 million. If you ain't gonna do it for yourself, then do it for your mama. Only stay surrounded by them people if you know they solid. Elevate your hustle up today to double up your profit. Trying to learn some game, Xavier gonna talk about it. No, Deanna, speak that shit that everybody vouching. Ain't no more excuses valid. Get up off the couch and get up in your bag. To your bank account, need an accountant.
A lot of smart people don't feel smart about their money. We have so many questions. Is a prenup a good way to start a marriage? Can I afford my dream home? And how do I leave a legacy for my children? Morgan Stanley has a podcast to help. On What Should I Do With My Money? You can listen in on real people asking the same questions you have and getting helpful answers from experienced financial advisors. Find and follow What Should I Do With My Money to get the answers you need to feel smart about your money.